We're back in Mark. We have, of course, we took a week off because I was gone. But we have been going through Mark. If you have been here in several weeks, we're working our way through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to do this for another month or two, and then we're going to take a break and do something else. I have some other stuff planned for the spring and the summer for sermons. I see a fan, and it is hot in here. I agree. So we're going to have a break. We're not going to do all of Mark in a row, and then later on in the year, we're going to return to the book of Mark. Jesus, of course, is famous for teaching in parables, is he not? If we think about the teaching style of Jesus, I am not very good at this. This is one of my weaknesses as a preacher, is the teaching in stories that Jesus did. He is one of the things, as you go through the Gospels, he does it all the time. He teaches in these stories, these parables. This is a placing of one thing beside another, a comparison, a parallel, case-cited, an illustration. I'm just reading a dictionary definition. A simile, a parable, a short relation under which something else is figured, etc., etc. This is, of course, another transliteration, the word parabola in the Greek. So we just take the English word, English sounds. But what is it? It's teaching through stories or illustrations. That's what it is, in essence. You have a story or an illustration that you bring alongside something to make a point about something else. And Jesus, in his parable teaching, is teaching about the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of heaven. So he brings these stories, these illustrations, to make a point about the kingdom of heaven. Now, the benefits are obvious. It's easier to remember a story than to remember straight doctrine, I think. If you just go through a mental inventory in your mind, just really briefly, how many parables can you remember? The stories that Jesus told. You could probably list, I'm sure probably many of us could list a dozen different stories or parables or different illustrations that Jesus used. This is something that I think helps people have in their minds, these ideas, these eternal truths. But as we read in Mark chapter 4, verses 2 through 9, this is a classic example of a parable. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and he was teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, and this is the key for our discussion this morning, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, classic example of a parable. But we look at these parables, you look at this parable, and you think, oh, it's obvious, right? We've got the different kinds of soil, and those are different hearts of people, and the word is the thing that's being sowed, and et cetera, et cetera. We have this idea in our head about what this parable means, but we only do that because we have the benefit of the whole story, right? We have four different gospels where Jesus teaches these parables, and then he explains them. Not only that, we have the whole context of the New Testament. We have so much stuff that gives us insight into what the parable means, but think about it from their perspective. He's talking about things that maybe they had not heard before. Talking about things they were not familiar with. They had not grown up learning about these things. Some of them, of course, in the Old Testament had. Mark 4:10-12. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 looked, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you, who? To the 12 and those who are around him, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those outside," outside what? Outside the kingdom and those who are not around him, those who are not following him to learn the teaching, "everything is in parables. So that why? They may indeed see, but not perceive, hear, but not understand, lest they turn, should turn, and be forgiven." This is a weird section of the text. Now, we're not going to go, there's a series of parables in Mark chapter 4 we're not going to go through. If you are following in the guided devotional, you're doing that every week, you'll see I have some questions about the parables and what they mean and how they should apply. But for this purpose, for our sermon today, we're talking about this text, this idea. Is Jesus really saying that he's intending to obscure his teaching? That he's teaching in such a way intentionally that people will not understand? Is that not what he's saying? I'm speaking to them in parables. Why? So that they will not perceive or understand or turn. Because if I teach them plainly, then what? They're going to do that stuff. What is he saying here? What does this mean? This phrase, let him hear, I said this is one of our more important phrases. Mark 4:9, at the end of that parable, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says it in 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. They're all hearing it. Everybody present is the sound waves are literally hitting their ears and they're hearing the words. But he's talking about understanding, right? There's an intentionality of understanding that we'll get to. Mark 4:33-34. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. He's not explaining the parables to the masses. He's just not. So you get the sort of sense how this goes. The crowds are following him, and why are they following him? They're following him for healing, they're following him for miracles, they're following him for the food, they're following him for all these different reasons. And they're all gathered around him, the masses, some like him, some don't like him. You got the Pharisees, you got the scribes, you got the common, ordinary folk, you got the regular working class people, you probably have some in between. This group of people who are gathered around him thousands at a time, he tells them this parable, and they're sort of left, well, what did that mean? Only those who cared enough to go and ask him, hey, what did that mean, Jesus, got to know what it meant. Right? He didn't explain everything to everyone. The parables were meant to separate those who wanted to know and follow from those who simply wanted blessings. A lot of people were there not to learn any truths, not to have any sort of deep connection with Jesus, not to learn about the kingdom of God. They were just there because they wanted food. Or they were just there because they wanted healed. Or they were just there because they wanted, insert whatever blessing you want there. Which is not wrong to want food, it's not wrong to want healed. But it did create a separation between those who desired to know the truth. Oh, I've got to go make some extra effort to find this out. I've got to keep following him. I've got to keep following him when he's not doing all the miracles. I've got to be around him to know the things that he is intending to teach. Only those disciples. That word disciple is so key here, right? The apostles, of course, and the disciples, because you got the 12, he says the 12, who would later become apostles, but also the other people who are with the 12, the disciples. The disciple is one who follows, right? One who continues with the teacher. Only disciples got to know the meaning of the parables. Even, of course, we know, as we read the parables today, as we have the whole context of the whole book, we know that there are vital truths within those parables that we get to see because we're reading the text. We get to see the explanation, of course, that came along with it. And then, of course, we have the New Testament as well to further explain these stories, these truths. So, the purpose of parables. Remember the context of the Gospels. What needs to happen at the end? They got to kill him, right? He's got to be killed, right? That's the end goal of the Gospels. There are times when Jesus was seemingly intentionally inflammatory against the rulers. We haven't looked at this. We'll look at it later, of course, but Jesus sort of ramps up his inflammatory nature. Again, why? Looking towards the end. And what does he say in that text? Lest they should turn and be forgiven, lest they should see and perceive. I don't want them to do that. Why? Because I got to die. I've got a goal in mind here. There were times like this when he was seemingly obscuring some truths from the masses because of the specific context of the Gospels and the end goal in mind here, the rejection of the people. But for us, of course, it's not that way. Yet, it's not so different from how people react to God's teaching now. This dichotomy, this separation between those who want the blessings and those who want the truth, that separation exists today. That difference, that divide exists in people who read Scripture today. 1 Corinthians 2:6-10. Yet among the mature do we impart wisdom. Not the immature, not the sort of those who are just sort of hanging out. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. What did he tell the disciples? To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. These secrets, these hidden things, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that what we talked about previously? The crucifixion needs to happen. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, revealed to us through the Spirit. Through what does that mean? Through the Word, of course, but also I think through the believing act of coming to Christ, the Spirit that is given to us. 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 14. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Then this is where we get to the meaning of the parable, the word parable, right? It's a story, an illustration, an example, a bringing alongside. That story, the sower, for example, had a physical meaning. The literal meaning of the words is what? This guy goes out, he sows some seed, and then some of the seed lives, and some of the seed dies, and it's all very earthly, very mundane, very ordinary. But what is he saying? Imparting spiritual truths. When they came to him later and asked, what does this mean? Then he gave them the spiritual truth. Well, this is not just talking about a farmer. This is talking about spreading the word and how people respond to the word. And what does that mean on a spiritual level? The natural person, that is the person who does not want the Spirit, the person who does not want to have any dealing with the Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Is this not what is happening with the parables? Teaching is taking place. Only those who desire to know Jesus, only those, now the Spirit, of course, has not yet been given in the same way that it will be later in Acts, but this idea of wanting to have a relationship with God, only those who desired more than the physical, the healing, the food, the blessings, only those who wanted more than that got to understand. That's what happens today. Only those who want more than the blessings of Scripture are privileged to understand Scripture. Those who wanted to follow Jesus got to understand. Oh, I just said all that stuff. They sought truth and not just power. So it should not be surprising to us. You read a text like this. It should not be surprising to us when the world misunderstands or twists the truth of the gospel, right? You think about all the text that's been written. I don't have a Bible up here, but I have it in my phone, obviously. All of the stuff in the Bible. You think about all the ways it's mistaught or misused or misinterpreted. That should not be surprising. Why? Because the world does not care about the deep things of God, does not care about spiritual things. The world just wants what they want, the blessings that come from being in Christ. Yes, salvation, forgiveness. Yes, I want those blessings, but I don't really want to know Jesus. I don't really want to be transformed by his power. I just sort of want the good stuff without any of the attendant responsibility. 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 16. Since then we have such a hope. We are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. What is he talking about there? Moses goes up, receives the Ten Commandments. He comes back down off the mountain, and they're like, you're too bright. Cover yourself. We can't look at you. I don't know if they sounded like that, but that's what they're doing, right? He was too much. He had to put the veil over, but their minds were hardened. They did not understand or accept. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. If you want to understand the teaching of Christ, you have to actually want to be in a relationship with Christ. You have to want truth and not just blessing, right? You have to want more than just a superficial thing. To understand the deep things of God, we must seek him with all our hearts. To try to see them through a worldly lens, that is, I'm going to stay over here in the world and I'm going to keep living the way the world lives. I'm going to keep prioritizing worldly things. And through that lens, I'm going to look at Scripture. Not that I want it to change me, not that I want it to transform me, but I want to stay over here and still have the good stuff that's over here. What? Well, that's the veil. There's no chance you're going to understand what God's trying to say. Jesus meant his teaching for those who would earnestly follow him and be his disciples. His love and sacrifice, the content of the gospel story, show people why they should want that, right? Why should I want to be in a relationship with Jesus? Well, because he died for me and he became a human for me and he lived a perfect life for me and he took all my sins on the cross. Like all the blessings of that, the great mercy and sacrifice and love that's demonstrated, that's why I want to follow Jesus. And then as I follow him, I learn the things that he taught and I'm transformed by the things that he says to be what? Conformed to the image of his son is what it says in another place. So what? The conclusion. It should not surprise us that people do not understand or are ignorant of spiritual truths. That should sort of be the expected reality, right? It should be the thing that we anticipate. That people are going to misunderstand, especially people who have no desire to be changed by Jesus. They're not going to get what Jesus is saying. That's the normal thing. Understanding God's truth then begins with a desire to know and follow Jesus. And might I say this might apply to us. You're just here because you like the people here, or because we have potluck every fifth Sunday and have a meal every Wednesday, and that's nice. I like the food. Amen? But you know what? If I'm not here because I want to follow Jesus, I'm not going to get it either. Maybe we in this room, we're just sort of here. Because it's what our parents did, and it's what we're expected to do. We have friends here, and we like the people, or whatever. But you don't want to follow Jesus? I might as well be speaking gibberish. There are many profound truths in the parables, but we need to be careful not to create meaning where there is none. And this is sort of a side note. This is tangential to our main discussion, but this is why Jesus later explained things to his disciples, right? Because the parables are in some way obscured or hard to understand. We have to be careful not to sort of overinterpret. This is a danger, right? That we use a parable and we sort of overinterpret it to mean something it never meant. We have to be very careful about that. Finally, people are converted to a love of Jesus, and then by extension to the truth. If you're not converting people to Jesus, then this is what's going to happen. They're not going to understand. They're not going to desire to know. They're not going to seek. It's not just that we're changing people's minds, right? That if I have a good enough argument, that if I present the gospel in a particular way, that if I present doctrine in this well-crafted, articulate form, then people are going to change their minds and then they'll understand. That's not how it works. What is the crux of the gospel message? What does Paul say? I was determined to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. My words were not in lofty speech or eloquent wisdom, but what? The simple power of the gospel. That Jesus died for your sins because he loves you, and you need him. You need him to be your Lord and your Savior. Then the truth will be known. Then through Christ the veil will be lifted. So my encouragement, if you're here today and you don't really love Christ, or maybe you don't really know what it means to be in a relationship with him, and you haven't really submitted to his will, you haven't really understood the gospel message, let me encourage you to make that right today, because I don't know how long you'll have. If you're struggling with understanding, we have a model for how to learn, right? What did they do? They came and asked. They came and asked him, hey, what did you mean by that? If you misunderstand something in the sermon or in scripture or in the Bible or something in Bible class, let's talk about it. There's no need to just wonder about it. Let's have a conversation and more teaching. That's fine too. If you need to become a Christian, the opportunity is available. If you need understanding, the opportunity is available.